Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your forgiveness and guidance. Please purify my heart, Lord, that it may be a place of pure sweetness with no rancor or bitterness. Amen. Well, my dear heart dwellers, sometimes we have rancor and bitterness and don't really know it, don't recognize it. But I recognized it today, and it needs to go. I was feeling very convicted for repeating a bad report about the neighbors, and I sought the Lord's forgiveness. I do not deserve for him to speak to me. Nonetheless, I had to ask, Jesus, please speak to me. He began, My dear one, I have washed away your sins in the ocean of my mercy. I forgive you. Try to do better, Claire. Try to do better. That mouth can be a poisoned hole to hell if you allow a thought from a demon to pass your lips. No negativity about another. We do not slander our neighbor. Let's look at this from my viewpoint. You have begun well, and things will pick up. You are getting a lot done, whether you know and understand this or not. There is a good bonding going on with everyone. Even your son recognizes that this is my doing. What is most surprising to me is that you still don't trust me the way I want you to. Total trust. Rest in me trust. The kind of abandonment you teach? You are so worried and concerned for so many things, Martha. Do you think I have not made provision for everything? Do you really think I've left out even one staple or one nail? Seriously, my love, we are doing this together, partnering. You are not alone. Look at the dedicated people I have brought you, with even more on the way. You worry too much about all the details when the main concern you should have is staying connected to me. And I know all too well the pressures you are under with discerning candidates and providing for them on a very limited budget. I foresaw all these things, and I have moved on the hearts to be a part of this because this is much more far-reaching than a few hermitages on a mountainside. I have faithful heart dwellers around the world who will not abandon you. Not for the accusations of men, not in prayer, and not to help with resources you need each step of the way. This is going to be an international community that will come and go and stay small and intimate. They come to catch the fire, then return to their own countries with me to light a fire in their homeland. Now, this is really interesting that he said that because a pastor had prophesied over me that I was leading a group of young people in a dark forest with one torch that was barely enough light for us to see one foot in front of another, when suddenly that torch exploded into light and became huge. Each one of these people who was following me came, they had torches too, and they lit their torch on mine, and then they disappeared to circle the world to a different place. And all the young people did that, scattering far and wide over the earth in every conceivable direction. And I have held on to that vision for a very long time. So when he said, they come to catch the fire, then return to their own countries with me to light a fire in their homeland, I was really excited and confirmed in that vision. Jesus continued, I know each of them are so beautiful, you don't want them to leave ever, and some will not leave. If I am with you, what else could you need? Oh, you of little faith, but you are only human after all, and I understand well the love you have for those souls who have come. Oh, how well I understand. But don't jump ahead of me, dearest. You have work to do today. You have lumber, nails, and very hard workers. Have I not told you tomorrow will take care of itself? When the other workers leave for the day, the heart dwellers gather together to celebrate my supper, and I am with them in oh so many special and intimate ways. They are growing, Claire. They are the good soil our seed has fallen upon. They have their eyes on the prize and heaven, and are learning to deny themselves and press into the difficult work at hand. They are learning to trust for their next meal and the materials for the next days. All of these are very valuable lessons that are forming them for future ministries. There are some among them who will stay for the tribulation, and they are learning vital skills. We are doing this together, and even though you are not among them each night, they are finding me and sharing their me with each other. And truly it is beautiful to behold. They are precious souls. And that was the end of his message on the refuge. I've included some funny pictures, like a refrigerator out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, we got tired of buying ice, and we had a solar generator and a backup gasoline generator, which we don't want to run because it's noisy and we get lots of sun up there. So we plugged the refrigerator into the solar power, and it's running. We also have gotten the foundation in. It took way, 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 way longer than I thought it would. But we've got 8 people up there so far, 3 of which I'm paying a wage. And boy, I'll tell you, that makes the money disappear very quickly. But they are finished with the foundation and are going to start on Monday with the lumber and building the rest of the building, which is exciting. And it's the largest hermitage of all because it is for the caretakers. So I included those photographs too in the message. I hope you enjoy them. They are beautiful people, just beautiful, and they are so self-starting when it comes to prayer and the Lord. And that's what's beautiful. I don't have to be there. They have the Lord and each other, and they share what's on their hearts, and they pray for one another. And that's what community is all about. I want to mention to you that Ezekiel is under the weather. And if you have written to him, please know that he's having trouble seeing the computer screen, making out the words, even with glasses. So please keep him in your prayers. And there's an update on the road to the refuge. 3 prayer warriors were praying about the road being closed to us and asking instructions from the Lord on what to pray for regarding the road. And they both received similar messages. For those of you who don't know, we have a very remote chapel up in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains near the southern end of the Rocky Mountains. And we lived there for 5 years, and we bought this property, and on the deed it says that we have an easement to use this particular road. Well, on the deeds of other people, it says the same thing, but someone has claimed that they don't have an easement written into their deed, and they've locked the gates so we cannot get in. Instead, we have to go an hour out of our way down an extremely dangerous road going through the National Forest, a very, very rough road, very difficult. And so when you see the materials that we're using to build the house, understand those were hauled in the back of my short bed pickup truck, which we were using for ministry, for visits and touring. Anyway, we've converted it. We've put on a big iron rack on it that was built for it, and that's what we've been using going in and out. We take the trash out with us because one of the buildings we had to demolish, and so there's always a bunch of trash that we have to take to the dump. So we've made, I think on that one day they made 4 trips back and forth to get the sand, the gravel, the cement, and everything that they needed. And then we had someone come up with a cement mixer. And it's been really, really, really difficult getting this done but we're trying to offer it for the local people that are in distress, that are lost and not going to heaven. We're trying to offer it for them. And sometimes I slip up and I get upset. So we have been praying. The Lord will not allow us to take these people to court. Don't take your brother to court. And we're obeying him on that. He wants to handle this a different way. He wants us to handle it with prayer. And from our experience in living up there before, there are Satanists and witches that live in the area. And they're not real happy about us being there. So we are definitely getting cursed and getting resistance to what we're doing. Not only all over the world for the channel, but also just in this area, because there are so many people up there who are practicing witchcraft. And they do not want a Christian in that area, or Christian ministers, or Christian prayer warriors. So we have a lot of obstacles every day to overcome, not just with going an hour out of the way to get into the refuge and an hour coming out again. Not just that, but all kinds of breakdowns and things like that happen that make it difficult for us to operate real smoothly. You know, it's not like going to a construction site every day. Everybody, you know, has the materials they need and they get going. We have to have people hauling things back and forth on this road so they have the materials they need. And I think that's a really good offering for the salvation of the local people. It's a suffering, really. But we still are praying that the road will be opened. And today they were directed to pray the rosary. I knew in my heart, this prayer warrior writes, that it was just not for this time that we were all together praying the rosary, but that this was a direction for all heart dwellers to pray the rosary each day as an offensive weapon and to ask the Lord to pave the way for us to use this road and gate, and for the curse of inhospitality to remain lifted from the individuals who own this property, and for their hearts and minds and souls and spirits to be changed and to belong to Jesus. On the gate, we had scores of love letters and cards, beautiful cards from all over the world, asking them to please relent and open the gate so we can have access to our property. And I went to check on them, and they'd torn them all down and left them in a pile on the ground. It was really sad to see. In its stead was another sign that someone had written hastily on a piece of notebook paper that said, "Please keep this gate locked. These people scare me." I thought, oh my goodness, what is it about us that's so scary? In fact, the strange thing is, I fed this woman's father for years. We would drop off food at that house on our way up to the mountain because we had a food bank there. And how in the world do they get it in their heads that we're dangerous? Because that's all we did, was be very hospitable and take people food, visit the elderly, pray for them. We did a few marriages and baptisms, and I just don't understand why people are afraid of us. Well, that's not something I have any control over, but believe you me, the Lord does. And when we ask Our Lady to intervene, just like at the wedding at Cana, she intervened. Jesus was not about to do that miracle. He knew they were out of wine. But when she came to him with that deep concern in her heart, he couldn't resist her. So now we are asking her to please, please pray for us that these people will relent, that the Lord will move on their hearts, because all prayers go to the Lord. And she's our great prayer partner in heaven. And this prayer warrior said that she spoke to Carol later, who told her that at the same time they were praying the rosary, she was directed to pray the rosary too. She was also led back to a message from some time ago that spoke of relying upon the intercession of the Blessed Mother to move on God's heart. And the way Carol spoke, it was a very clear confirmation. And I want to remind some of you heart dwellers, if you've not been to our website, There are a lot of things on the website, heartdwellers.org, that you can download. One of the things is a word from God. If you click on a button that says Rhema on the site, it's a Latin word, R-H-E-M-A. If you click on that, your browser will automatically open that page with a word from the Lord right in the middle of it. And on the left, it says for a Rhema message, in other words, an entire message. Click on that and a Rhema message will be pulled up out of, I think, maybe 1,500 messages now. But the thing is that Carol does this every morning. She gets a Rhema message every morning. And just as they were praying the rosary and being told to pray the rosary, Carol got that message too. So it's a powerful tool, very powerful. I can't remember, who said this, but there was some kind of a dire situation going on. Everyone got together and prayed, and all of a sudden, the situation changed. And the Lord showed them they had wielded a sword against the enemy, and the sword was the rosary. It turned into a rosary. So it is very definitely a protecting prayer, because Our Lady's been assigned so many angels. She was faithful on earth, and the Lord promised those who are faithful on earth will be given more to do in heaven. Well, I wanted to bring something else up too. I want to share this with you, Heart Dwellers, because it's an amazing example of perseverance in prayer and also some new healing techniques. One of our intercessors continues, the Lord also revealed some new information about healing and techniques, which go hand in hand with the sword messages just put out. If you haven't seen those, please check them out because they're very powerful. One thing he's making very clear is that we must persevere in healing prayer. I just had a case today, she said, following prayer time. Number one, nothing really happened. I prayed in tongues for about 10 minutes. However, I kept hearing and feeling the need for perseverance. I asked for more help. Prayer time number two followed, of a similar duration, very soon after. And at the end, the patient felt markedly better, and new information was revealed during this prayer time about additional problems. Prayer time number three, another 10-minute session in tongues, followed a few minutes later of similar duration, and after this, the patient felt almost normal. I believe that by tomorrow she will feel normal, but I will also ask to see if I need to follow up in prayer. The difference was amazing. This has occurred many times in the last few days, she continues. This need for perseverance followed by eventual improvement. I believe in my heart, she continues, that there are people who will improve with prayer, despite the fact that they have not in the past. Something is different. I have much to learn still, but I will do my best to keep you abreast. I hope we can speak more about it another time, and I wanted to let you know about the rosary. It is on my heart that lying symptoms will be the greatest risk to new healings in those who still need seasoning in faith. That's very true, very, very true. The woman that had a back problem, and she was healed when one of our team prayed for her, I told her, I said, if the symptoms try to come back, rebuke them in the name of Jesus and call them lying symptoms. I'm healed. You are not coming back. In the name of Jesus, leave. Because lying symptoms will try to mimic what you just got healed of, and you'll think, oh, I didn't get healed after all. And that's not true. When you get a real healing, you get a real healing. And if it tries to come back, which most of the time it will, you do have recourse to binding the demons, the lying symptoms, and the demons behind them, and commanding them to leave and never return, or send for reinforcement. I think some of you may have our binding prayer, which you can also get off the website. Well, here I want to share something with you about spiritual warfare. Hi, dearest Claire. I'm writing to you because I received an email from a friend who is suffering from an illness that the doctors have not been able to diagnose, which causes her to have seizures and pain. She also has sores on her skin that will not heal. She told me that she wants to give up and die so that she will be with Jesus and won't suffer anymore. This saddens me because she is at the age where she should be able to get married and have a family. I truly believe that she is experiencing these things because she's getting attacked by enemy spiritual warfare. The reason that I say this is because when she had gone to the doctor, he told her that she isn't sick and that she is pretending to be sick. Oh, I love that one. With fibromyalgia, you get that a lot. When she told me about that, I remembered one of your teachings that talked about enemy spirits that were making people sick, how they would hide themselves whenever a person would go to the doctor, but then they would come out of hiding when the person was no longer in the doctor's office. I've seen that happen with Ezekiel time and time again, and the message behind that is normally, this is the suffering I've allowed, son. Please carry it with dignity. That's normally, you know, the end of that. She continues, I've been praying for her to be delivered from the spirit of sickness and for her skin to be healed, but she has not been delivered or healed yet. Please ask your prayer intercessors for prayer for Janet. And that is the name I'm giving her, but that's not her real name. I believe, trust, and have faith that our Holy Lord will deliver and heal her when more people pray for her, because the enemy spirits that are causing her to have these health problems are wanting to stay attached to her. Now, my intercessor sent a letter after this. She said, I just finished praying for Janet. Now, that's not her name, but if you pray for her by this name, God will know exactly who you mean, so don't worry about it. You received an email from a friend telling you about her struggles and her depression and her sickness. Prayer revealed no cursed weaponry, like a sword. However, she was cursed with chronic sickness. She was also cursed with pain and sores all over her body, involving, it appeared, her skin. She had pain in muscles and ligaments all over her body. She was also cursed with death. I can't tell you how many death curses we've had to break since we've been in ministry. It is a lot, too many to number. And there were spirits of hopelessness and helplessness surrounding her as well, as multiple spirits of suicide. In addition, she had somehow ingested a poison at some time. I do not know if it was physical or spiritual. We do not know what is in our medications, our food, nor water. But I was shown this poison had spread throughout her body and spirit and soul, and it is linked to the sores and the pain. All of this suffering thus far is never forgotten by Jesus. This has literally been a cross for the world, and Jesus takes this precious gift very seriously. Our Blessed Mother was there as I was praying, and multiple saints were called to pray and minister. I heard the Lord beginning to clean out her body of the toxin that was causing this. All curses, their demons, excrement, and devices of any kind were removed and sent to the abyss. Healing is beginning, both of the physical and spiritual bodies. It is also on my heart that Jesus wants this woman to know just how much her gift means to him. She's doing something important, and he needs this for the world. We may all have a better idea of what is going on now, but we do not know everything. We prayed for her to understand how special and precious she is to him, and for her to have peace in her heart, soul, spirit, and mind as this healing process begins. Toxins are being removed, probably in ways I don't understand. I was not privy to any of that, but my heart is telling me that as this toxin level improves, so too will her pain. I also heard the Lord promoting healing of the sores and improvement in the pain. The demon of pain was sent to the abyss along with the demon responsible for the sores. The death curse was also removed and sent to the abyss. Oh, how many saints came to pray and minister. Kiara, Christopher, Thomas, Padre Pio, Therese, Teresa, Faustina, and Bernadette. And there may have been one or two others. I cannot recall. There were so many. Our mother was also putting some type of medicinal ointment on the sores. Whatever she puts on always seems to help. In addition, immediately afterwards, she was dressed again in a new armor of God, including chainmail, the chainmail of humility. I have a cloak of faith that the Lord gave me, and I was permitted to duplicate it for her. An angel took the duplicate to her and placed it on her. Perhaps you can let her know when she puts her armor on each morning and night to add the cloak of faith at the end, and not to forget our chainmail of humility, which goes after the breastplate of righteousness. Our heart dweller swords fit right beneath the cloak of faith and can be easily accessed. I pass this on to you, dear Claire, because I'm not quite certain of this person's email address. I would like her to know just how special she is to our Lord and our mother and everyone else. She is not sick and forgotten. To the Lord, this is a precious gift, and it is for the world that she suffers. And it is now, it appears, time to begin healing. I do not know any time frame for this. I will keep praying, as I'm sure so will many others. The Lord sent the suicide demons away, as well as those of hopelessness, helplessness. It is important that she not let them return and not fall prey, as I certainly did in the past, to lying spirits, which can open the doors for the real thing to return. I believe what I heard and what I saw, and that's it. I have faith that he is doing what he has promised. The time frame, too, is his. But he loves her so much. She's not forgotten, and she's not unimportant. Wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful letter from our intercessor, who very often prays for people who are demonized. Well, that's it for now, dear heart dwellers. I'm going to try and get a message out every day. Even if I just have to tell you the news, I'll try to get a message out to you every day, because I really do want to be in touch with you every day, and there's always something I learn that I'd like to share with you. God bless you, and thank you for your faithfulness, for praying for me, and supporting our cause, and even the refuge. Thank you so much. It means the world to us. The Lord bless you, dear ones. He is with you.